Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake at Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
So we're continuing our journey through the Gospel, Luke, fifth chapter. And the setting of our reading, the context of our reading, is Lake Gennesaret. It's also called the Sea of Galilee, which we're more familiar, or Sea of Tiberias. It's a freshwater lake about 13 miles long by about 8 miles wide, and it lies in a dip in the Earth's surface about 680 feet below sea level. And it kind of gives, it's an almost tropical feel, the climate there is such. And Gennesaret is also referred to a piece of land, a plain of land on the west side of the lake, and it really is a most fertile piece of land. And I believe that Luke chooses Gennesaret, the name, from the others to give this image of the fact that the fields, if you will, are white under harvest, that they are fertile for a kingdom of God harvest, if you will. Jesus says in John's chapter, the fourth chapter, fourth verse, he says, "Look around yourselves." I mean, think of it, friends, look around ourselves. He says the fields are ripe for harvesting. And so there's this image of a ripe harvest to be had in which Jesus' mission, the kingdom of God mission, unfolds. Jesus comes, of course, the kingdom of God is impinging in upon this known world through his proclamation, through his teaching, but also through powerful works, if you will, signs of the inbreaking of the kingdom. I'm talking healing, exorcisms, and the like. And it's to a growing multitude of people that Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom. Hence, the growing crowds literally force Jesus from the shores. And so he sees a couple of boats, and he sees these fishermen mending their nets. And these fishermen, it's been a difficult go. They've fished all night and caught nothing. Nothing. And so then Jesus gets into one of the boats belonging to Simon Peter, and he asked him to put out a little bit from the shore here. And it turns out, Jesus wants to preach. He's going to preach to the multitude. In a sense, the lake's going to kind of amplify his voice. But he's also zeroing in on Peter. Peter is a person of peace, meaning he leans into Jesus and what Jesus is sharing. And he's willing to serve him. And so the request put out, he heeds the request. And so he puts his boat out, even though he's tired from the shore a bit. And it's really here our reading, if you will, begins to focus. Sharpen and focus. Jesus preaches and teaches to the multitudes out there. Yes. God so loved the world that he gave his son. It's in God's heart to draw all people to himself. But God is also the God of the one. And as you know, he gives that image of the shepherd leaving the 99 and going after the one lost sheep. In a word, He is the God who goes after you and me. To call us from whatever the darkness of unbelief is, whatever that is, at whatever time, into the light of his embrace, his grace, his mercy, his very life. So he calls us to himself. That literally, by changing us and transforming us from the inside out, we might become then, if you will, also those who reflect, who share, literally become lighthouses in a darkened world. That's no small work, by the way, my friends, to be transformed from within, to somehow be salt and light in the world. It's a journey of a lifetime. It's called discipleship. But anyway, back to our reading for today, verse 4, if you would. Verse 4 reads, when he had finished speaking, Jesus, of course, to the multitudes, and Jesus had a way, did he not, of kind of turning, pivoting. And he looked right into the eyes of Peter, not the first time, mind you, but he looked right into the eyes of Peter. Peter, Simon, he becomes Peter in chapter 6. Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. You can almost hear Peter's groaning. And can you imagine his interior world, his thoughts? Master, we've worked all night long. We've caught nothing, skunked. Besides, Master, anybody who knows fishing knows that you fish at night. You fish at night when fish are caught, because they're caught then, because they're coming to the surface to feed. Master, we're tired. We want to finish, you know, mending our nets, get a little food, some shut-eye. Master, you're the carpenter. We're the fishermen, mind you. One thing I'm sure you know, and you've found out, that being a follower of Jesus often kind of goes against the way we typically think things should be. Doesn't make sense, if you will. We can say it's counterintuitive oftentimes to human logic. It is in dying to self that we find freedom. It is in dying to self painfully that we're raised up to new life. Jesus says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, unless it falls to the ground and dies, it's only then that we'll see fruit. Oh, Jesus says, whoever will save their life will lose it. Whoever will lose their life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Ooh, that's challenging. We walk by faith, not by sight. Trusting Jesus, a journey of a lifetime, if you will. But it's here, in this discipleship journey, that we are encountered by God, that God actually shows up. And as God starts to show up, it's here our faith grows. And so Peter, even though he did not understand, he obeys. He did not understand. And it's really, this is kind of a key phrase in the text, if you will, verse 5. He says, yet if you say so. Isn't that kind of the nature of being a follower of Jesus? I don't understand, but if you say so, Lord, I take you, that's another translation, at your word, Jesus. At your word. In spite of his protests, of course, Jesus obeys. He lets down the net. And it's a miraculous catch. It's a net bursting, boat sinking, catch a fish. Jesus says, look around yourself. The fields are ripe unto harvest. We know the parable of the sower, do we not? That, you know, we're going to be out there broadcasting seed, or at least we're called to be out there broadcasting seed, and it's going to fall on hard pan. It's going to fall on rocky soil. There will be thorns that kind of choke the life of the new growth. But we're also told the seed of God's word will fall on fertile soil. And then there will be a harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold of people who come to Jesus. And so Peter, you know, he sees this miraculous catch. In verse 8, he says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, go away from me, Lord. Lord, I'm a sinful man. Earlier, he referred to him as master, teacher. Now it's Lord, Kyrios, the divine name. He knows he's in the presence of God. At your word. In the presence of God. A miraculous catch. It's an epiphany. He catches a glimpse now of God and who God is, his magnificence, and the sheer grace of God and God's work through a sinful man. He sees his sin. His sin is not so much a moral failure or a specific sin. It's the fact that God has not had God's rightful place in his life. It, of course, takes us back to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah somehow finds himself in the presence of God. It's so overwhelming. And it shakes everything to its core. The holiness, the weightiness of God. He says, woe is me, I'm lost. But isn't it amazing that in spite of Peter's sin, and for that matter, Isaiah, remember, the seraph came and touched his lips, the prophet. He says, there, your sin's been cleansed. Go speak. Here in Peter's case, yes, sinful man. But he calls him out. And he says in verse 10, if I could, then Jesus said to Simon Peter, do not be afraid. That war between fear and faith. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch people. It's a promise. I'm not sure about the original, but indicative voice. This is what will be. You will catch people. And Peter now, Jesus will have his rightful place because Peter leaves everything behind and he follows. So here's the good news this morning in the words of our Vacation Bible School. When you feel unworthy, when you feel unworthy and afraid, know this, Jesus rescues. Can I hear an amen to that? Anybody feel unworthy out there and fearful? Everyone, yeah, me, yeah. And he rescues. That's what Peter discovered. That's why he said, woe is me. I'm a sinful man, and yet God is using him. God is using you and me. He rescues us from insignificance. I was reading this morning, he works in our life both to will. He enables us to both will and to work for his good pleasure in spite of our sin. Isn't that amazing? That somehow he takes our will, which is reticent and fearful, infuses us a will to want to obey. So he'll work through us. That to me is amazing. Jesus rescues. The good news, too, is it does not depend on us. The miraculous catch was by the power and authority of Jesus. The power and authority of Jesus. God could work sovereignly and have fish go right from the lake into the boat. But he chooses to work through people. He really wants us to join in on the family of God business, to be partners with him in seeking to redeem a fallen world. So he works incarnationally, works through you and me. He authorizes us. That's what we mean by authority. Hey, you're my guy, you're my gal. I authorize you to be out in the world to represent him. Whoa. Oh, and by the way, power too. The power of the Spirit, the power of the Word, so that God can do God's work. Especially powerful to proclaim, yes, but embodied, lived out, flesh and blood, coming near to people, being in relationship, connecting them to the very heart of God. We feel insignificant. I believe, help my unbelief, Lord, that God will use us for a multitudinous, is that a word? A multitudinous catch. That through you and you and you and me. Someone, someones may come to Christ. What we've known for the most part is fishing along the shore, safe harbor, inside the church, safe. The faith has always been a going faith from the very beginning. Go, therefore, in the book of Acts, you will be my witnesses. Yes, in Jerusalem, in the church, in the synagogue. Oh, but now to the surrounding regions, Judea, Samaria, and what? Say with me, to the ends of the earth. To go out into the deep, because that's where God is. At your word, Lord, Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's by his authority and power. Nonetheless, there are marks of good fishing. Good fishermen, fisherwomen, if you will, who by his authority actually catch people for Jesus. So I'm going to give you briefly four marks. Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
You will be surprised. I worked long and hard on this. I got an acrostic. If we could, let's start. I'll bet you're just wondering what the acrostic will turn out to be. Well, you wait and see. I want you to think about this. Good fishing, good fishermen, begins with people who faithfully proclaim and teach God's word. Communities of faith that faithfully proclaim and teach God's word. Do you realize what a dearth there is in terms of kind of an understanding, a proficiency in the Christian faith, an understanding of it? Oh, it's something about doing good, right? Or it's something about that Jesus guy. When you press into the faith, it's first and foremost about a holy God who in his glory, his essential nature is holy and weighty. And sin, humankind, as they turn their back on God, it is an offense to a holy God. We fall short of the glory of God. We sin. God does not take sin lightly. God is a God of justice, and it breaks God's heart. So God in love incarnate in the person of Jesus. On the cross, Christ absorbs your sin and my sin, sheds his blood so that the justice of God or the just requirement of the law is fulfilled. We then are cleansed and given the very righteousness of Jesus, set free to leverage our life for eternal purposes. People don't understand. It's essential we share, we verbalize, we proclaim, we teach, but it's essential, as I mentioned, that we embody, that we connect the word in tangible ways to people's lives. Faithfully proclaim and teach God's word. Help it, have it shape and change our lives. And that really then is the next step. It makes sense. It logically flows. If that be the case, then the next mark of a good fisher person is, if you say so, it's about taking Jesus at Jesus's word when we don't understand. And somehow by the grace of God, then taking action accordingly. But again, as I mentioned, it's here we discover the reality of God in our midst. And that is the crux of discipleship. Taking Jesus at his word, some type of action empowered by grace, and as we do so, discovering the reality of God, the sufficiency of God. Because at the end of the day, you really can't share what you haven't lived. You can share with others what you've experienced. It flows then from your heart to another. And that then brings us to the next thing, a next mark of good fishing, self that is humbled. Life has a way of humbling you. Life has a way of, as we know the law and what the law requires, of revealing the fact that we all fall short, that we are broken, that we are broken. Understanding one's brokenness and then coming to understand the sufficiency of Christ again is key to fishing. Jonathan Edwards, in his book, Religious Affections, writes, A truly Christian love, either to God or men, is a humble, brokenhearted love. The desires of the saints, however earnest, are humble desires. Their hope is a humble hope, and their joy, even when it is unspeakable and full of glory, is a humble, brokenhearted joy that leaves the Christian poor in spirit, more like a child, more disposed to the universal holiness of human behavior. It's really like Peter. He thought he was probably a pretty good fisherman. He got skunked. But when he trusted Jesus, the sufficiency of Christ, he had a multitudinous catch. We can't do it, but man, God will and God can. And finally, honor Christ. Peter is a result of that transformative experience. It was a result of Jesus, who would die for a sin and be raised and give the Spirit, was moved from a fearful person to a man of bold faith, where he's willing to leave it all behind. And because of that experience, he honored Jesus. He honored Christ above all else. Key to fishing in the power and authority of Jesus, faithfully proclaim, teach God's word. If you say so, self that is humbled, honor Christ above all else. Let me just share with you three brief stories about At Your Word, about going out. I understand from this past Friday, people were out at the Phoenix Rescue Mission, beyond the safe harbors of this church. And as a result of that, one man made a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. There are folks who are gathering beyond the four walls, whether it be the Dubliner, and encountering people. Encountering people who want to know the love of God. Our Salt and Light mission community, you know, training wheels of somehow trying to be out there. And, you know, on the patio, not really way out there, but at least trying to connect with people who are not a part of this community, preschool families. I've wondered about the kingdom impact of it. Certainly seeds of God's love have been sown. God's word never returns void, but I've wondered. You know, and recently God's been encouraging me with persons of peace as a result of that. In the process of just sowing a bit into a few of those persons. Where it will go, I don't know. But at your word, Lord, if you say so. It's our mission. If we could have our mission statement, I'll close here. Read this with me. We exist to build disciples by living out God's word, reaching out to the community, and bringing people to Christ. There will be a multitude of nations, people who are caught, who will gather around the throne, every nation, every tongue. Jesus says, you will fish for men and women. There will be a catch. But the question is, will you? Will you? Will me? Will I? Take him at his word and fish for men and women. Amen.